Now, if you have a Bible with you this evening, I want you to turn with me again this evening to the first epistle of Peter. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to preach the same sermon as this morning. But the first epistle of Peter and chapter 1, please. We were looking this morning at the first epistle of Peter and some verses from chapter 2. But I want to turn with you to some verses toward the end of chapter 1. We're going to commence our reading at verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Word of God says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Amen. Amen. Now this morning, as we were looking at the verses in the second chapter, remember I said we were looking at what we might call Peter's pen portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just some of the lovely things that Peter said about our Savior. And tonight I want to think with you about what I might call Peter's picture or pen picture of a Christian. Because I know that in this world in which we live, if people talk about someone who's a socialist or a communist or some other label, well, most times people know exactly what they're talking about. But if you say, "Are you a Christian?" then we sometimes get a varied selection of answers. Some people say, "Well, you know, I was born in a Christian country." Others might say, "Well, I was brought up in a Christian home," or "I attended a Christian church." There's a godly bishop many years ago who preached every year at the Keswick Convention. And he used to say, if you ask someone in England where he ministered, he would say, "Are you a Christian?" He says, very often their reply was, "I am C of E." In other words, "I'm Church of England." And he said, what they really mean is, "I'll come and see you at Christmas and Easter. Come to church at Christmas and Easter." I remember one night years ago, we had a wee group coming to church to sing, and some of the young people were giving a wee word of testimony. There was a wee girl there, and she started talking about being brought up in a Christian home. And she says, "You know, it's a privilege to have been brought up in a Christian home. But," she says, "you could be born in the garage and it wouldn't make you a motor car. And you need to come yourself and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior." Now, the Bible reminds us in the book of Acts, doesn't it? In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And then later on, when the great apostle Paul was preaching before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, I remember Agrippa said to Paul, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And we were thinking this morning about the people of God and how they were to live their lives, and even if they were to suffer, they were to suffer patiently. And in this very epistle in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, there's another appearance of that word. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And so it's good to look at what the Bible says a Christian is. And there are some wonderful characteristics of the child of God found in this chapter and in those verses that we read together this evening. You know, people talk about being born in a Christian country or being born in a Christian home. But I want you to think with me tonight, first of all, about the birth of a Christian. Look at the word of God says there in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the Bible makes it clear in this instance that a Christian is one who is born again. And they are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We were born into this world, and the Bible says we were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity. And in sin, the Bible says, did my mother conceive me. Job asked the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And every man or woman born in this world, natural sons and daughters of Adam, sinful, fallen, ruined race, we were all born in sin. We were dead, Paul says, in trespasses and in sins. We were doomed, we were under the power of sin and the penalty of sin because we, as we lived our lives, we were disobedient and we were deceived by sin and by Satan. So natural generation does not make a person a Christian. You can be born into a Christian home. You can be born in what's called a Christian country. Although sad to say that many people are talking now that this United Kingdom of ours, we're living in a post-Christian era when so many have turned away from the things of God and away from the old truths contained in the Holy Scriptures. So the Bible says here it's not by natural generation, but it is, thank God, by a supernatural generation or a regeneration. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you're a good man. You're a master in Israel, and you are a ruler of the Jews. But Nicodemus, you must be born again. The old hymn writer says, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified freely, thank God, and fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And we are born again. The book of Ephesians talks about the washing of the water and regeneration of the word of God. You know, I have heard hundreds of testimonies, maybe thousands of testimonies, since I was saved way back in 1965. And you hear testimonies from all kinds of people, young people, older people, some who were saved in their youth, some who were saved in their childhood, some who were saved later on in life, some who were saved from a life of addiction, a life of drunkenness, a life of immorality, a life of violence or wickedness, some who were brought up in a Christian home, who were religious, who went to church, who, as it were, never put a foot wrong in this world. But every one of them needed to be born again. But you know, the one thing that characterizes them all is this. The word of God tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Somewhere in their life, somewhere in their testimony, they tell you, I heard the word of God, or I read the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people were saved through a famous evangelist. Some people were saved through a Sunday school teacher. Some people were saved by their parents at their mother's knee. But they all had one thing in common. They heard the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God. They were taught they were a sinner. They were taught they needed a Savior, that the only Savior is Jesus Christ. And when we think about the birth of a Christian, it's not natural generation. It's spiritual regeneration by the power of the Holy Ghost. And as the Apostle Peter says here in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And thank God that is demonstrated there even in that story of Lazarus in John's Gospel chapter 11. Lazarus was dead. He was dead for 4 days. His body lay in the tomb. He was bound from head to foot. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Bible commentators all say, if he hadn't have said Lazarus, all the dead would have come forth. And there was a stirring down in that tomb. And Lazarus came forth. And they had to loose him and take the bands from his eyes and his feet and his hands. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. But that's just the way we are saved. We were spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. Couldn't, as it were, lift a muscle to save ourselves. But God, who is rich in mercy, he hath begotten us again, according to his abundant mercy, to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the great eternity, God planned the program of salvation. God, the Son, came into this world, as we were thinking this morning, to fulfill the plan, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And by the Spirit of God, we heard the Word of God, and God the Holy Spirit took a dealing with us, and we were born again of the Holy Spirit of God into the family of God. We used to sing the old gospel hymn, he came from the brightest of glory. His blood as a ransom he gave. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're born again. The birth of a Christian. But you notice the Apostle Peter speaks about the blood and the Christian. The verse that we opened up with, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation or lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were not redeemed. When the Apostle Peter wrote those words, right across the Roman Empire, there were millions of slaves. Even in Judaism, there were slaves. And people knew what it meant for someone who was a slave, who was a servant, to be redeemed. They could be bought, their freedom could be purchased. They could be set free. And the Bible reminds us in the Gospel of John that whoso committeth sin, that same person is a servant of sin or a bond slave of sin. But Peter says here, ye were redeemed from all the vain traditions and ceremonies and rituals and the way of life from your fathers, not with silver and gold, but with the precious shed blood of Christ. Every time I read that verse, I think of a dear saint of God. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He belonged to our martyrs' church, and he was a character, and he was a great man of prayer, and my, we love to hear him pray. And I remember one night in the prayer, it was one of the late night prayer meetings, and in the prayer meeting he began to pray, and he was really getting excited, and he got a wee bit mixed up, and he quoted this verse. He says, Lord, he says, you know we're not redeemed with a couple of things, such as silver and gold. He meant to say corruptible things, but you know he was right. Silver and gold, that's a couple of things. But silver and gold, says the hymn writer, cannot buy our redemption. We can only be bought back from the awful slave market of sin through the precious shed blood of Christ. When I was a boy attending school in Fane Street, we had a teacher, and he was a Unitarian, and he would have made fun of those who were Christians, and he would have said to them, you know, we don't believe in the slaughterhouse gospel. Many a time as I preached the gospel in the open air at the city hall, you talk to people, they say, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe in all that, I don't believe all this talk about Christ and his shed blood. And oftentimes in conversation with them, we would remind them, you know, there are millions in a lost eternity who didn't believe it either. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe in the atoning blood of Christ. And where have they ended up? In a lost eternity. The Bible says you're not redeemed with silver or gold. You can't pay your way, buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way through the vain tradition, the way of life, the ceremonies, the rituals, baptism, confirmation, church membership, choir membership, being an elder, being a deacon, be a vestryman, whatever it might be. You can't work your way or buy your way into God's heaven. You have to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. It reminds us of the passion of the Savior when he died on the cross. A story was told of a dear soul who was going round an art gallery, and they saw one of the pictures of the crucifixion of Christ, and they stood and they gazed at it, and the more they looked at it, the more they became enthralled, and they began to look into the gospel and think about the things of God, and they eventually came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then they wrote the hymn, I gave my life for thee, thy precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. The blood reminds us of the cross work of Calvary, of the precious blood and how Jesus purged our sins in his own body on the tree. Over 50 million slaves in the Roman Empire. People knew what it meant for one to have been redeemed and to have their freedom bought back. And thank God in the gospel we can say, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. We were on our way to lost eternity. We were in the kingdom of darkness. But thank God he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the power of sin and Satan unto God and the kingdom of his dear Son. Now you notice here the Bible says there's the birth of the Christian through the Word of God, being born again of the Holy Spirit. The blood on the Christian. Thank God tonight for the precious blood that cleanses men and women from sin. But you notice here it speaks about the belief of the Christian. The belief of the Christian. The Bible says in verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Paul writes in the epistle to the Romans in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He writes to the Corinthians, he says, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you. This is the gospel that I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. But men and women, we have to believe. We have to put our faith and our trust in that wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in chapter 2 and verse 9, we read it this morning, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You remember the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. He's heading out, breathing, threatening and slaughter against the people of God. And then the Lord speaks to him, reveals himself to Paul on that road. And Saul gets saved. And it always seemed to grieve his heart and soul that he had been injurious, he says, to the church of Christ. But he says, the Lord Jesus saved me. And he says, even my conversion as a blasphemer, as a persecutor, as a murderer, there on the road to Damascus, he says it was like a pattern conversion for all who would be saved. Because the one he didn't believe in, he put his faith in, and he put his trust in, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The old gospel hymn says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the blind man and asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, sir, that I might receive my sight. He believed in Jesus. And he could say then, once I was blind, but now I can see. Because they put their faith and their trust in Christ. Some people are trusting in religion, in baptism, in good works, and good citizenship, good neighborliness, all things that are good and right and lawful, but they cannot save. Need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away and all things are become new. Can I just close by saying that the apostle Peter talks to us here about the birth of a Christian and the blood and the Christian and the belief of the Christian. He speaks a little about the blessings of the Christian. And that's a wonderful thing. In verse 2 he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Oh, that's the cry on the lips of politicians and leaders and world leaders. And they say, we need peace. We need peace. And what men and women need is personal peace and peace with God through the blood of Christ. The Bible says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus has reconciled poor, sinful, fallen mankind to God. Only through the cross work of Christ, only through his shed blood. But my, there's many a man or woman tonight who cannot find peace, and they're searching for peace, and have tried the drink, and have tried the drugs, and have tried immorality, and have tried everything that this world can offer, and they're still searching. Some have possessions, some have power, some have popularity, some have the pleasures of this world, and they're still searching, and when they put their head in their pillow, they can't sleep, and they're wondering, is there life after death? Where will I be after I die? Where will my soul be? They want peace. Well, thank God, that's one of the blessings that comes to the child of God. You notice there in chapter 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says there, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, and your part he is glorified. You know, the child of God has the peace of God. And thank God we know the power of God in our lives. The Spirit of God resteth. My, when we get saved and we're born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The old gospel preachers used to say, in the heart of every man and woman there is a vacuum. And that vacuum can only be filled by the Holy Spirit when a man or woman is saved. Houses and lands and wealth and fame and money and power cannot satisfy. But thank God, Jesus satisfies. And people say, I would love to be saved, but I don't think I could keep it. I would love to be saved, but I couldn't break the power of sin in my life. I would love to be saved, but I couldn't get rid of that addiction. I would love to be saved. Listen, when a man or woman comes to Christ, he has peace with God, and he gets power in his life to live for the Savior. And then there in chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We couldn't keep it. And we're right, we couldn't keep it. We would stumble, we would fail, we would fall. But my, we are being kept by the power of God. I think it was the old, either Matthew Henry or A.W. Pink, I can't just remember the quotation, but one of those gentlemen was asked, how are you keeping? And his reply was, I am not keeping, I am being kept. Kept by the power of God through faith. And thank God for all the promises of God that are yea and amen. You know, Paul could write there to the Hebrews, Hebrews 13 and 5, and he could say, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the presence of God with us in life. And when it comes to the end of the journey, well, the sweet psalmist, the shepherd of Israel, David himself, he could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Many years ago, a well-known infidel who had blasphemed God, preached that there was no God up and down the length and breadth of the country, challenged the gospel preachers, he came to die. And some of his infidel friends were sitting around the bedchamber. And he was having a hard time. And he was suffering. And they were saying to him, hold on. Hold on. And he cried, I have nothing to hold on to. But thank God, the child of God, in life and in death, we have the presence of Christ. And look at the prospect we have. In verse 4 of chapter 1, the children of God, listen, what's ahead of us? An inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Oh, the child of God, this is not some kind of pie in the sky hope. This is reality. This is the word of God. And the Bible says, those who are saved, thank God there is for them an inheritance. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. And that's the lively hope that's begotten in the children of God. Question is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Years ago, Shakespeare in Hamlet, he asked the question, to be or not to be? That is the question. Well, to be a Christian or not to be a Christian, in the true biblical sense of the word, to be born again of the Spirit of God, to be cleansed in the precious blood, to have believed on the Lord Jesus, and to experience all the blessings of God in Christ in your heart and life. May God bless these thoughts from his word tonight to our hearts. We'll just bow together, please, in a wee word of prayer. Just bow together in prayer. Can I just say, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior, we'd love to show you from God's word, God's way. If you're listening, even through social media, you can contact the church. We'd be glad to help you and point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the simple message of the gospel. And we thank thee, Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, bless your word. Bring men and women to Christ. Restore the backslidden in heart. And Lord, bless your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.